It's the best, hands down.
It's crystal clear.
I love it. The things you can make are awesome.
No one else has quality epoxy like this.
It's easy to mix.
Tim is such a wealth of knowledge.
It's gotta be iCoat.
Welcome to the Resin Mastery Podcast, exploring iCoat epoxy. So welcome back to Resin Mastery. Rachel, this is going to be a great day because we're in wedding season, flowers, brides, and deadlines. But I think everyone also needs a bit of a survival guide for these artists as well.
Yeah, you know, I definitely agree with you on that one. I think that as we move into this next season of business and people's lives, that they definitely do need some help and some, you know, quick tips, some good information to be able to navigate it, since there are so many stress factors. I guarantee at least one of these people who are listening will deal with a stressed out bride during this season.
Well, remember what we said in the last episode as well, right? Which is 42% of all weddings in America happen in September and October.
Yeah.
And that equals 842,000 brides.
That's insane. And I'm one of them. So.
And you're one of them. And just for everyone listening, we have something very special later in the episode, which I'll call it now. You're going to be looking for a treasure hunt word for something special that we're doing right now. So stay tuned for later in the show to find out what that is, because it can be worth a lot of money to you. So that's exciting. So Rachel, let's dig in. Busiest time of the year for preservation artists, people dealing with weddings. It's going to be fun. It's going to be like, oh my goodness, I got another job. I want another one. And then it's going to be like, I can't handle this many jobs. What am I going to do? What am I going to do? I can't do this. Right. And then everything blows up. So we need words of encouragement. So you mentioned it a minute ago. Let's talk about the stress factor that's involved in preserving people's flowers.
Yeah. Okay. So, well, I mean, with good things often comes a little bit more responsibility, a little bit more stress. So even if it's a great thing to do more business, there's definitely more of, especially around this time, more of an emotional weight to things, because every piece is priceless to the client. You know, if you're doing wedding bouquet preservation, that is something that is definitely important to get right the way that they want it. You know, the last thing that you want for your client is to be looking at it and to see, oh, wow, it's lackluster compared to what I've seen online or what I imagined it to be.
Right.
Setting up realistic expectations of like time frame and everything for the customer is really good. But yeah, there's just a lot. There's time pressure because you might have multiple jobs and overlapping deadlines, like with drying and curing, like schedules and everything, because I imagine you would need a little bit, depending on what your space looks like, you know, you need things to be, you really need to get that schedule tight, right? If you've got, like, let's say five jobs at once and you're only used to really doing one, then you're like, oh wow, okay, this is time to step up my game. And then just also, you know, the just how burnout can sneak up on you, and that's with anything, but especially during this season, I could imagine that if this is something that you're doing for your livelihood, burnout is definitely a realistic thing if you're not careful with how you manage your time.
We've talked to preservation artists before, and those that are faithful people who have said they prayed and prayed for this to become a boom in business. And then one day they've got stuff curing in their bathroom, in their bedroom, in their living room, and they're like, oh my goodness, what am I going to do? So yeah, that as resin preservation grows, this could explode quickly. And having that planning, having contingencies ready, you know, that's really important. Like you said, burnout can happen where you, as elated as you are that you've got all this work, you've got all this work.
Yeah.
And yeah. You can't afford to make mistakes. Like, expectations in advance, yes. Clear guidelines, clear communication, yes. But yeah, burnout can work. So, you know, on a practical workflow area, I think making these checklists in advance is critical. That you got that communication, but like, you do not want, you know, Molly the bride ringing you up saying, is it ready yet? Is it ready yet? Is it ready yet? Is it ready yet? Because eventually yeah. you'll be like, Molly. And then it's not going to be a great experience. They're probably going to be like, well, you said, no, I didn't, but I misheard. Write things down, give them a schedule in writing, even, I would say.
Yeah, I think that's a good idea.
Yeah, you know, definitely, like, you know, help them understand the process, how long it takes to dry stuff, how long it takes to mm-hmm. paint if you're doing any touch-ups on things, how long mm-hmm. it takes the process of the casting. It's not just usually in one pour. And then, you know, polishing and everything else. But as I say, that communication, having it written down is huge. And I'm going to challenge all of our preservation artists out there, Rachel, with this. If you get to a point where you're getting more work, blessed work, than yes. you can actually handle, find someone out there. Find one of our other ICO preservation artists. Connect with them and find out what their bandwidth is. So rather than turning a bride down, disappointing a bride, or not delivering on time, maybe you can share a commissioned work with someone else as well.
Yeah, wow. That's a really helpful tip too, because, you know, then all parties are winning. And even who knows, maybe when that person doesn't have the bandwidth, they'd reach out to you. So that's definitely a good way of networking, you know?
Yeah, 100%. Yeah.
I really like that. And I wanted to note too, like, if you need to build build a template on how you would generally communicate a schedule to a bride on whatever, you know, the work that you're doing is. Like, so you have little blanks that you fill in with their name and stuff. And then you can copy and paste that into like ChatGPT and say, hey, ChatGPT, make me a cute schedule based off of this information, like a visual schedule that I can send to a bride. And then literally copy, paste, send that to them. So it's cute. And it's like, oh, you know, because I know me, I really am like very detail oriented. And it seems that when you're a bride, you're dealing with like so much just like information, just regular text, that, not even trying to be like silly, but things are boring. You're like looking at like websites and you're like, oh my gosh, I'm so tired of just seeing the same old, same old. So kind of spicing it up and giving them a little image, almost like an invitation to the process, right? I think that that's a unique way. Plus, it takes a little bit off of your plate. You can just have that working and bam, there you go. Something special. And that'll help hold them off too.
You know what I also think is an idea that people can use is an online tool. Now, I've used Trello in my business before. So when I do marketing for people, so I can communicate so they can have a visual of where we're at with projects. Mm-hmm. I just use it's by Atlassian. It's called Trello. There's free to use to up to 10 boards. So you can have 10 projects for free working where the client can see it exactly where in the process their preservation is. Mm-hmm. They can add notes in. You can add notes in. Great communication that way without them having to get you on the phone every time. Because again, when you've got gloves on and you're pouring and the phone's ringing off the hook, your stress level's just going to be going up. And you're not going to be able to communicate with them. So set up some easy online way to actually do that as well. So, Rachel, strategy is big, obviously, when it comes to this. So let's talk a little bit to like business strategy for these artisans.
Yeah. So I think with everything going on, there's definitely, you know, people understand that it's busy. So you definitely want your pricing to reflect the peak season demand of the wedding season, you know?
Every other industry does it. When it's really busy, they charge a little more, like, you know, and don't be scared for that to be part of your strategy.
Don't feel Like you need to, you know, compromise what you really, it's a niche as well at this point. So there's only so many people doing it. So you definitely need to be doing that because it's, you are selling your time more than your craft when it comes to things like this. That is what your business runs off of, is your time when you have a business. So you need to make sure that it's worth that so that you don't, so it's a little bit extra incentive not to feel burnt out. Like, oh my gosh, this is worth it. I'll get through it. It's super important, especially if you have anybody working for you and it's not just you. I know some businesses don't pay themselves for years, and that can be a huge stress. So you need to make sure you're, you know, making sure your prices reflect that, and also implementing like rush fees and seasonal premiums. I know I just bought my veil, and it's, I mean, I don't even know how this lady made the veil. I didn't, like, it is like 9 feet long and completely seamless.
Wow.
Like there is not a hem anywhere. It's like, I don't even know how you get that much fabric. So I was like, oh wow. And like, I had to pay a $15 rush fee on that, which isn't a lot, but you know, that makes it a little bit more worth her time. She's paying for, like, I got free shipping, so I imagine she pays for the shipping, you know, that's included. So that's already a kindness that she was doing. So, you know, figure out what works best for you. If you're somewhere where the business is more local, maybe you don't need to do as much of a shipping fee. So you can add like a premium, or, you know, maybe lessen your premium if there's high fees revolving around what it costs to get the customer's bouquet to you and back to them. Kind of figuring out those small logistics as well.
See, I'm actually thinking as well, like maybe some of these admin tasks or extra tasks, posting on social media, you may want to, during these really busy times, hire someone also to help.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, don't expect to do it all on your own. Don't exhaust yourself. You still have families. You've got loved ones that will need you too. And that gives you a bit more wiggle room if things get even tighter, to be able to take on more work and be able to handle it and get through this as well. And then a last thing, I think in this area, like contracts, big time, you do not want people messing you around. I didn't say that. I didn't agree to that price. Get all that stuff, you know, hopefully you've already got that in advance ready to go. Get deposits so people don't back out on you. Give them clear shipping information and things like that. But, you know, that's big. But I can see how this can all pile up, Rachel, to a point where taking care of you becomes really important. And like, you know, I've seen people get really, really busy at work. And what ends up happening? Oh, I just spilt my coffee everywhere. Boom, they amplify the stress. Or they trip and fall. It's something gets broken. And it's like, slow down.
Yeah.
Take a breath. You know, you're not going to get through this with this kind of chaos around you. So you really, really got to take care of you. Any ideas from you on the whole, because a lot of these are women, right? So any ideas from you on the taking care of you?
You know, so that's a good question. Since I am a woman, I would say I was actually just talking to Isaiah about this earlier, like this week. And I was like, wow, you know, I figured something out. We read this book called Men Are Like Waffles, Women Are Like Spaghetti. And men are like waffles because they compartmentalize into boxes, right?
I like that, yeah.
And women are like a plate of spaghetti because everything touches each other, and we've got so many thoughts and everything connects to another thing. But what I realized is women in their own way are like waffles, not in the way of that we actually go inside these boxes and stay there and that's where our understanding for the time being is. It's more so that we have a box and we put things into the box. And if something does not fit inside that box, because it's just basically one box at any time, it's like today's box and the next day's box or this week's box or whatever. But if something doesn't fit into that box, we start to panic. And then it's like, oh my gosh, things are not perfect. Like, this is horrendous. I cannot function right now. Or maybe I'm just speaking for myself, but from my observation of women in general and how much we can really get freaked out by like the smallest details, since we are so detail oriented, it's, if something's not fitting in this box, I start to panic. And then the more things that pile up and don't fit inside that box and isn't like a part of what I planned today, I just get drained of all energy and hope and encouragement. And it's really sad to see.
Rachel, I love that as encouragement. That is a great story and really powerful.
Thank you. Yeah. And so I think the most important thing to realize is, as a woman, just remembering that you cannot possibly prepare for every single thing, but you can. It's called prepared spontaneity. It means expect the expected. So know that you're going to be dealing with stressed out people. Know that you might make mistakes. And know that you are, you know, if you're, know where you are, be realistic and take that as a side note for whatever box you want to fit things into, so that when things are panicking you, you look at that and you go, okay, this was my realistic setup, and this is okay, because it didn't need to be perfect from the start. But we need those reminders that it doesn't need to be perfect, and that when we mess up, that we don't need to beat ourselves up. And that, like, for instance, you said taking a walk, taking a breath. Like, it, you know what? If you have stuff to make a, you know, a cute little drink at home, or you want to go out and get a drink, like, remember, also make time for family, make time for friends, carve out a couple hours a week. You know, that is not going to ruin your business if you carve out a few hours a week to go and have community with people that you love and somebody that you can talk to about, hey, I'm stressed. I just need to hear that it's going to be okay and I can do this. And if you are faithful, pray about it too.
Pray about it. Exactly. Yeah.
So, yeah, that would be my biggest suggestion.
Yeah. And you know what? I actually think, you know, working on your workspace is also important. Making sure that it feels good where you work. Like we were saying, it shouldn't be in your bathroom, in your kitchen, everywhere, because eventually you'll resent it and you won't enjoy your craft anymore. So, you know, if anyone's heard our podcast, you know that we've interviewed some of the amazing artisans who do this for a living. Some of them with like 20 plus people employed, who started like you are out there as just a one woman show or a one man show. And now all of a sudden you're handling 20 people with all their troubles, with all their stresses on top of yours as well. So, you know, listen to their stories, because they share amazing wisdom in how they got through this, how they built this, the things they use, the tools they use, when they thought it was dark, when they thought it was light, when they thought it was going great, when they thought it was all failing. And these are amazing stories that will help you move forward in what you're doing. And I think this is really an important moment for you to say to yourself, yeah, I need help. I'm not an island and I can get out there and do it. And I love your story about the waffles and spaghetti. I think that's something we're going to have to maybe even expand on in another show, because that's fantastic. So look, I'm encouraging you guys out there, share your stories with us, share them with each other, share them online, share them with the people. You know, don't put all your stresses on the brides, but give them little stories about how things have happened in the past, because that will help tell the story while they're in this I need mode, like you said, trying to put stuff into a perfect box. This preservation situation is not a perfect box, and understand that, like, wedding season is intense, and it's probably going to get more intense as more than 5% of brides decide to get preservations done. You know, if this flipped to 20%, I don't think that demand could be met at this point in time.
Probably
that's how
not.
Crazy it is. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Seriously. And that's why, you know, to anybody listening who isn't in the business of preservation and like resin art, I would definitely look into getting into it, because, you know, there's reasonable prices for product out there. And
there's great profits.
Yeah, great profits, just because, like, wow, like, it really is such a small thing. Like, most niches are actually saturated. Like, I like music. I love doing music. That is oversaturated. There are millions of people, like hundreds of millions of people trying to make music. And they're all, you know, there's only so much sound that you can make. So, but with resin art, it's like, there's a lot of people who want the same things, but they want it locally. They want it done by somebody who's like, you know, faithful, or somebody who's liberal or conservative. Like, you know, find your part in the resin mastery niche, and I guarantee you will blow up with doing business. You know, just because there is so much business to be had, that it's actually there's way too much potential, you know, not to go ahead and at least just try it for a couple weeks and see how it works out.
Well, Rachel, I've got to wrap up this show, a gift for you and also a gift for our audience. So if everyone's listening, you've probably heard that Rachel's getting married in October.
Yay.
And Tim, who runs ICO, has decided that we're going to start a competition coming up. And as part of that competition, the winner is going to get to be paid to actually preserve Rachel's wedding bouquet. As part of this competition, you're going to have to do a bit of treasure hunt. You're going to have to do a bit of engagement on social media. But Rachel, we decided today on a treasure hunt name from this episode. So someone's going to come listen to this episode, and if you're looking for the treasure hunt word, the name, it's Isaiah. And
yes.
Keep that, write that down, because you'll be asked for that as part of the competition. And if you'll look for a QR code online, look at it from on our social media, on the iCoach social media. Also, if you're looking and can't find it, call the office or email the office, and they can actually send you a code as well. And you'll probably see one in orders coming up. So the first people getting them are getting them in orders right now. So they're going to get a bit of a head start on everything else. And Rachel, next week, we've got a great episode talking about an amazing story that Tim's been through. A few of the customers know about this. I don't want to be a total spoiler on it, but it's an amazing story of resilience. And as anyone who's our customer or wants to be our customer, you're going to hear a story that's going to actually blow your mind.
Yeah, and I'm very excited to do that episode. And I think that it'll be a good listening experience for everybody out there to, just be encouraged to persevere. If you make a good business, how sturdy it can be, even with external factors.
And as fragile it can be as well. So until next week on Resin Mastery, we'll see you all again soon.
See ya. Bye.